I don't want to set the world.
Because I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
To chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Well, well, the polls are in and the Palestinians have spoken. 3 in 4 Palestinians support Hamas's massacre of October 7th. 98% of the respondents said October 7th slaughter made them feel prouder of their identity as Palestinians. Say what? But I thought the majority of Palestinians are peaceful people, you say. It's only those nasty terrorists, Hamas, who are bad. A recent poll done by the Arab World for Research and Development found that 74% supported the Hamas atrocities of October 7th. That's 74% in favor of murdering, raping, kidnapping, mutilating, and burning Jews, and only 12% against. 77.7% want to destroy Israel and replace it with a Palestinian state. Only 17% support the two-state solution. They're not complaining and crying for a ceasefire because they don't want the war, but because they're losing the war. They still want the war. They just want to be winning it. Hamas is more popular in the West Bank, 88% approval rating, than it is in Gaza. 59% approval rating. The Al-Aqsa Brigade, the military part of Hamas, scores big in the West Bank, 86% approval and 69% in Gaza. Those are numbers Biden would kill for. And don't mistake the 9 out of 10 in the West Bank and 7 out of 10 in Gaza as a lack of enthusiasm for Islamic terrorism. Oh no! The Al-Qassam Brigades, the direct terror arm of Hamas, is at 95% approval in the West Bank and 78% in Gaza. Islamic Jihad scores 93% in the West Bank and 72% in Gaza. The Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade is at 88% in the West Bank and at 70% in Gaza. So now that we know who the Palestinians like, let's see who don't they like. Everyone. 98% of Palestinians in the West Bank hate America, as do 96.8% of those in Gaza. That's still better than the United Kingdom, which is hated by 100% of Palestinians. They actually hate America and the United Kingdom more than Israel, which is only at 97.3%. Ingratitude is one of the consistent Palestinian characteristics. 92% don't like the European Union, 88% don't like the United Nations, and 69% manage to be against the Red Cross. Russia, which continues to back them, gets some of the best numbers. Only 57% don't like Russia, 60% don't like China. Even more ungrateful, 85% don't like Western media, even though they are pretty much the Palestinian propaganda arm. If you give them free food, they will really hate you. If you give them free rockets, they will hate you a little less. The only thing they like is kill people and then kill some more. This isn't a culture or a country. It's a xenophobic death cult that hates the entire world. You don't want them as neighbors or as refugees. Click on the link in this video to sign our campaign to stop any Palestinian refugees from being imported into America. We refuse to come to terms with the fact that some people are bad, no matter what horrors they commit. We're certain that it's only a tiny, itsy-bitsy minority of extremists who have misunderstood Islam and are surely not representative of the vast majority of peace-loving people who want the same thing we want and just haven't been given the opportunity. We don't really believe in evil. Even when we come face to face with it, we make excuses for it. And evil is then able to manipulate us, to play on our sympathies when it has none for us. You see, there is one piece of good news from that poll. 90% of Palestinians would like a ceasefire in the war that 77.7% of them would like to see conclude with the destruction of Israel. How stupid would anyone have to be to give it to them?
Yeah, there you go. So, I got two words for you. Virtue signaling. Anytime you get a group, a very small minority of people in the world that want to support another small minority of people who are claiming that they're victims, you're going to have what's called virtue signaling. It doesn't matter the definitions of right and wrong, good and evil to these guys. If they perceive you, keyword perceive, if they perceive that you are a victim, then you are in the right. It doesn't matter if they're wrong, if they're evil, what they've done to get there to be considered a victim. Victimhood equals righteousness to these groups. The pro-Palestinian idiots who are taking over bigger cities in the United States, in places like New York, trying to break into the bus places or the train stations, the idiots on the bridges over in France and around the world. You don't see these idiots trying to do stupid things in China or Russia, do you? No, they go to places like the United States where we have weak leadership. They go to places like Canada where there's weak leadership. They go to places like France where there's weak leadership. The United Kingdom where there's weak leadership. Because these are countries that appease and please liberal lunatics, the tiniest of small fractional majorities, because those are the groups that believe they're being victimized. And because they're being victimized, they are righteous. And everybody else who don't believe in them, don't believe that they're victims, or don't believe in their lifestyles, their way of life, they're the bad guys. If you don't agree, you're wrong. Doesn't matter how right you are, you're wrong. This is the very definition of fascism. These guys who don't care what you think, they don't care about what you believe, they don't care about your morals, your ethics, you're going to believe, think, say everything exactly the way they do, or you're going to be punished for it. We're going to burn your house down. We're going to riot in the streets. We're going to rob your stores. That's fascism. And the fascists are calling people in the right fascists. You see the backwardness here? Everything that liberals do is crazy. They're absolutely nuts. They're bonkers. That's why I hear people say liberalism is a mental disorder. It absolutely is. These guys are crazy. Crazy. They identify as animals. They crap in cat dirt, in cat boxes and kitty litter. They allow children that don't know the difference between Santa Claus and their mom and dad, they allow them to pick their gender. Are you serious? They give them surgeries. We got idiots like Justina Trudeau over in Canada who's passing laws that say if you don't support a child's right to choose his own gender, you can be imprisoned and your child can be taken away from you and imprisoned. These are the idiots that's running the world right now. These are the idiots that's going to the World Economic Forum, looking at all this craziness that they've stirred up and allowed to happen, and they're like, oh, yes. Look at the marvelousness of the work of our hands. Look at what we've done here. We've created chaos. Let's let them kill themselves. Let's cause divisions and strife, and let's let them rise up against each other, nation against nation, people against nation, all this culture against culture, race wars, and on and on and on. They love it. They thrive in it. If you think there's not an agenda to depopulate this planet, you are sadly mistaken. And we are far from overpopulated in this world. Far from overpopulated. But they want you to believe that. They want you to believe that this world is overpopulated, and that we, as humans, are taking too much. We've spread our cancer too far, and the elites will decide which ones of us live and die. And that's why you can't let them put shit into your body that you have no idea what it is. You're just like, okay, the government says it's all right. It must be okay. And you take the poison. Never even been studied. Never even been trial ran. You just go take it. Because the government says it's okay. The CDC says it's okay. The Food and Drug Administration says it's okay. Right. Right. So, So I had to spew a little bit, because I'm getting sick and tired of these groups. I'm tired of seeing them, hearing about it. I'm done. I'm so over it. I cannot despise these idiots. And I think things. I'm just trying not to say the quiet part out loud. But when you see thousands of these idiots on a bridge, you know, over deep water in France, you're like, what's the weight capacity of that bridge? What is the weight capacity? Can we not throw a few more people on there? Something else. I'm going to digress from that. Because I want to talk about something else everybody else is talking about. And it's this new movie that's on Netflix that the Obamas helped to produce. And the Obamas bought into Netflix years ago, and I knew right away there's going to be propaganda put out by them. Anytime somebody that's neck deep in politics buys something or into something like Netflix and becomes shareholders or chairman, they were some kind of big members of Netflix. Anytime politicians do that, you can expect propaganda. Okay, and you go across social media, everybody's talking about this. When you talk in groups of people, you know, at work, people are talking about this show. And I want to say, I watched it the other day. I might have even forgot the name of the movie already. I think it's called The World Left Behind, or Leave the World Behind. And it's got Julie Roberts in it. Ethan Hawke. Who else in it? Kevin Bacon. And another star, the one guy that just cast his Blade. It's supposed to be the new Blade, not Wesley Snipes, but the other guy that's coming up to act as the upcoming Blade in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That guy's on it. So we got a star lineup here, and I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I wasn't wanting to watch it at first, but because of the Obamas, and I'm like, wait a second, I want to watch it because of the Obamas. I want to see what they're doing here. And because before I ever went to watch it, I was watching like snippets on videos. I was watching Instagram reels and TikTok videos and Facebook memes and posts and you know, YouTube stuff. And I saw this in the symbology that is outlined in the movie. And there's some symbology, and there's other things you're scratching your head like, what in the world is that about? And people are believing that the Obamas are trying to tell us something. They're trying to, people are believing that they're trying to share with us what's coming in the future, and the symbology is, it means this and it means that, and there's other things, like I said, that is in the movie. People are just like, well, we don't know what that means, but this is kind of interesting that they put this here. And the Obamas in particular wanted to be personally focused and involved in the ending of the movie, which turned out to be the most stupid part of the entire movie. I thought the whole thing was stupid. I was putting that out there. I did not like the movie at all. I thought it was stupid. My wife, she didn't know that I'd watched it, and she was saving it so we could watch together. We were sitting around the other day eating supper, and she said, "I've been saving this because I wanted to watch it with you." And I said, "Oh, I didn't know you'd want to save it and watch it with me." I said, "I would have not watched it." She said, "You saw it?" I said, "I did." And she said, "Ann," I said, "Ann, it's a dumbass movie, basically." I said, "It's dumb." And she said, "Oh, okay. Well, we won't watch it then." Why, you might be asking? Because you might have saw it, thought it was okay. You might be thinking about it or watching it, thinking about watching it, and you want to know if you should bother with it or not. I'm telling you, don't waste your time. If you already watched it, I'm going to share my thoughts with you. If you might watch it still yet, I'm telling you right now, there's spoilers. I'm going to talk about some spoilers. I would like to right now tell you where to come out ahead of this. If you want to skip past this, I don't know what timeline on this to come out. Just kind of fast forward. If I'm still talking about it, well, then I'm sorry. Just fast forward some more, or skip to the next podcast episode. But let's talk real quick. I'm going to talk more about that in a second. I found a video of Julia Roberts, and she's on Jimmy Fallon show, and he's talking to her about it. And you might have seen this already. I'm going to play this for you, and then I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about the movie.
President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are producers on the film.
They are.
Did they work closely with the film?
Yes, you know, this was on President Obama's reading list. You know, he puts out his cool books and cool songs.
Right.
And so this book was on his list, and he's a big fan of Mr. Robot. And so I think he and Sam, you know, collaborated with the notes in the beginning and the notes when we were done filming in the post-production. And
imagine him in the editing room. "No, if you knocked on the door, I would hide." It's his Airbnb. It's his Airbnb. He can do what he wants. He's allowed to live there. It's his house. President Barack.
Okay. And that was the extent of it. That's all I pulled up anyway. And that was just a little clip. I don't know who Mr. Robot is. In fact, here, I'm going to take a peek real quick here on the internet and tell you who Mr. Robot is. But while I'm digging that up, I just want to talk about this. People think that the Obamas are trying to tell us something. I don't think that at all. You heard right here from Julia Roberts that this book was on Barack's mantle. I guess he's a fan of Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot is a guy here. It says he's an American drama thriller television series creator. Let me see here. By Sam Esmail for USA Network. Mr. Robot, I guess it's a TV series. I'm looking at International Movie Database now. Mr. Robot is a crime, drama, thriller TV series. Okay, so there you go. That being said, the guy that wrote this book, I guess, is involved in... the guy that wrote this book is involved also in Mr. Robot series somehow, some way. And Barack Obama is a fan of this guy, and he liked this book. And here, guess what? Well, Obama has claims to Netflix, so he's going to take something that he enjoys, he's going to turn it into a movie. The Obamas didn't write this, according to Julia Roberts. According to Julia Roberts, this was already written, and it was something that Barack Obama was a fan of. So to say that the Barack Obama is trying to tell us something, the Obamas are trying to tell us, I don't know how far adapted this book or the movie was to the book. All right, I do want to say this though, and here's some spoiler stuff coming on. Some of the content in this movie was so batshit crazy, I can't even put my finger on it. They didn't even explain a lot. The movie itself was incohesive. Like, it was like there was nothing holding different parts together. As a writer, when you write something, you want to write it with purpose. You don't just write something, a detail into a story that doesn't mean anything. And there's a lot of that here in this movie. One of the most peculiar things in this movie was the damn animals, the wildlife. They never explain it. We know watching the movie, spoiler alert, there are hackers involved in the downfall of the United States in the movie. Hackers are taking control of Wi-Fi. They're taking control of television stations, okay? And somehow, some way, it affects the wildlife. Like the deer just go crazy. Like they lose their marbles. They lose their fear of people. And for some reason, all the deer in a 100-mile radius center on one yard, and they just stand there and they stare at one of the female main characters. And then Julia Roberts comes in and starts acting stupid to try to scare the deer away. And they're not like, what are you doing, stupid human? And they're just staring at her, you know, confounded. And they both female actors start acting crazy to try to scare the deer away, because they're all just kind of standing there in a half moon shape, you know. They're just kind of spread out in like a half moon pattern, kind of staring at them, and they're acting stupid, and they're flailing their arms and screaming and hollering, trying to scare the deer away because they're really creeped out. And the deer finally, all of a sudden, they just bolt. They all take off in different directions. And then flamingos come in. Flamingos just fly in, and they choose this pool, the swimming pool, to light down inside and start swimming. And they're just, why? And you get several instances of this in the movie where animals just kind of come into the main character's life. For what reason, we don't know. They're just, it is never explained. And then there's this other thing, like this really high-pitched tone that everybody can hear, and it makes everybody go crazy. Like it's like a high-pitched ring, and it goes on for minutes, and everybody's grabbing their ears, and they're falling down almost into a fetal position, holding their ears with their hands, like, oh my God, what's that sound? And they're screaming. It's painful. You can tell it's painful, and they're all writhing in pain. They never explain what that is, where it came from. Keep in mind, these guys are like out in the middle of nowhere, and in some mansion place, and this is happening. And then one of the children, the son of Ethan Hawke and his wife Julia Roberts, his teeth start falling out just out of the blue, and he's the only one that happens to. Nothing that I can remember that he did any differently than his sister, that he's always falling, you know, they're always walking around together, they're always seen together doing the same thing, him and his sister. But her teeth don't fall out. Mom and dad's teeth don't fall out. Nobody else's teeth is falling out, just his. We never find out why or what's going on. There's other bizarre things. Like there's a tapestry or a photo of some kind hanging behind the bed. It's like, I don't know, like three or four little, they look like sound waves maybe. And as the movie progresses, it gets different. It changes. It gets crazy, you know. And there's another image of like calm waters behind a bed. It might be a different room. I'm trying to remember. And the waters are calm in the picture. And over time, they start becoming like a storm. Okay, so they're trying to tell us. Producers are trying to tell us that the things are getting crazy. You know, the storm is coming. Okay, but it's like I said, there's nothing cohesive about it. And then there's racial overtones. Like, I gotta check real quick here. This actor's name that played in Leave the World Behind. It's Mahershala Ali, and I hope I pronounced that right. Him, and I want to say it's his daughter, and she plays I'm trying to pronounce her name. Mahala. I'm trying to, it's MYHA LA. All right, they play the Scotts. He plays G.H. Scott, and she plays Ruth Scott, and they're, I guess, millionaires, and they're renting out their home to the Sanfords, to Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts, and their children, Rose and Archie. You know, Archie, the one that his teeth start falling out for no apparent reason. So the Scots show up in a storm, all right? I guess they're traveling and their vehicle goes dead. They show up here perfectly close from wherever they're at to where the Sanfords are staying in their home because they rented it out, I guess, kind of a bed in an Airbnb. And they're staying there. And then the Sanfords decide, or the Scotts, I'm sorry, decide to come back and knock on the door. And the Sanfords are immediately racist towards them. Not Ethan Hawke, not the guy, you know, the husband, but Julia Roberts' character, Mrs. Scott, is like, I'm sorry, I'm getting names mixed up. Mrs. Sanford is immediately racist. And you can tell that she's suspicious, you know, and then the daughter of Ruth Scott is in raising an eyebrow at Amanda Sanford, that Julia Roberts character, raising an eyebrow at her, saying, "Won't you just tell me why you're being so mean to me?" And it's, there's a really heavy racial undertone going on in the movie. And one point in the movie, Ruth Scott tells the character G.H. Scott, which is played by Mahershala Ali, that we should not, you know, it's hard enough to trust people, especially white people. Just kind of laying, we're just going to put it out there. You know, it's something that you could have just completely left out of the movie. If you want to be suspicious of strangers, that's, I got no problem with that. Let's write this in. Let's write in that they're suspicious of strangers coming to the house. But let's not say we're going to be mean because they're black. Let's not say we can't trust white people. Let's say we can't trust people because the world is in a crazy place right now. We're living in the apocalypse kind of a thing, right? That's my take on it. So I don't think that the movie, I don't think, I almost forgot. There is, I was talking about some of the weird stuff they put in the movie and some things for no reason whatsoever. If you Google, I'm going to try to do this here because I have not done this. I saw it on the movie. And run a QR. There's a QR code on the movie. I'm going to do this. Leave the world behind. I'm going to put map. Leave the world behind map. All right, yes. Leave the world. Go to Google, put leave the world behind cyber attack map for map. And if you go and pull that up and zoom in on it, that map, just I'm going to click view file here. Zoom in on it, and right over, it looks like the southeast corner of Indiana, somewhere around, I can't tell because this map looks kind of weird, but somewhere it looks like it's on the corner of Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. On that map, there is a QR code. Those of you who don't know what QR code is, it's a square black and white code that you can, with modern technology, you can open up your camera on your phone and it'll select it out and they'll provide you a link and you go to that. When you do that, it takes you to a place, it will take you to a location that I've seen personally on, I watched mystery television series, things that make you scratch your head and say, whoa, I wonder what's going on there kind of thing. There is a place in West Virginia called Lake Shawnee, okay? So if you click this, this destination takes you to Lake Shawnee. And it's a place in Mercer County Convention and Visitors Bureau website is where it takes you. And if you watch any documentaries on this location has been rumored to be haunted. Like it's supposed to be on an old Indian Native American burial ground. Children have come up missing here. They've drowned in the ponds in this area. And it's just weird that this QR code is on the border of Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky for a place in West Virginia. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's like that, there's that, and then there's the banner thing behind the beds. That make no sense. The kids' teeth falling out. The sounds that are affecting everybody. We have no idea. Then they never explain it, and the ending is more stupid than any of it. And it's they give you no answers whatsoever. And so, if you want to watch this, go ahead. You know, I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying, you know, you're going to be disappointed. If you think you're going to learn something about the end, I don't think you will. But a lot of people are watching this movie and they're acting like they've never seen an apocalyptic movie before. Somebody literally took a movie or book and made it into a movie. This has happened dozens of times. The Road, for example, one of the best apocalyptic movies ever. And people like me who write post-apocalyptic books, you know, I've been writing for stuff. You want to read something freaky, go back and read the Tyrant series. I wrote about coronavirus. I didn't use the name coronavirus. I called it something else way back when. And I talked about mandated vaccines and all this. A lot of the stuff that I've talked about in the past in books that I wrote fiction has come to pass, because you can see a lot of this stuff coming years away if you're smart and you're paying attention. If you understand the bigger picture, the whole depopulation thing, Agenda 30, if you understand this kind of stuff, you can see, you can literally write fiction and watch it come to pass down the road. That's where we're at on this. So you watch it. I don't think anything's, you know, I don't think that the Obamas are trying. Why would they care? They don't care. We need to try to care. Can you see Barack looking at Big Mike and say, hey, baby, yeah, we need to let them know what's going on. We need to, you know, and I can't do a Barack Obama, you know, impression like O'Fallon can. But we need to tell America what's going on. We gotta tell them what's going on. We gotta share with America. We gotta share with the world what the plans are. No, he's a part of it, and he don't care if you know or not. I guarantee he's got some information between those tiny little I don't know what he's got. He's got little ears, but they're big for his tiny head. Big Mike knows some stuff too. So between the two of them. And trust me, she's America hater. She don't care what happens to you and I. So I don't think they're trying to say anything. I just think it's an apocalyptic movie that they, Brock, liked, and he liked the book, and he wanted to make it into a movie, and he had the gumption and the power and the resources to do it, so he did. So you can go watch it if you want to, put some money in his pocket, give him some ratings, whatever. I'm just telling you, it's weird and it makes no sense. The whole movie is dumb, and I didn't like it. I suffered through it just to see what they were up to, and honestly, now that I know, I'm not, I don't know. I'm glad I watched it so I could tell you about it. Would I watch it again? Absolutely not. Would I recommend it? Absolutely not. It was awful, and I think that Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke and Kevin Bacon, who played a kind of a minor role, he was like the prepper, which they never really explained it, you know. He knew a whole lot that what was going on too in the movie, but they never gave that character any depth. He's just like the crazy man that lives out in the woods by himself, and he knew all along something was coming on, and he had a magic pill to help out the son that had the teeth coming out. He acted like, you know, he knew everything was coming in advance, and he was prepared for it medically. And they didn't do a character dive into him at all. All we know is that the Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke's character, well, not Ethan Hawke, but Julia Roberts was racist, and obviously so was the Scott daughter. She was like that because she was assuming that Julia was racist just because she was being rude to her, you know, and made the comment that she can't trust white people, kind of a thing. It's just whatever. Anyway, yeah. This has been one of those days. I don't have a long podcast for you today. It's been a really busy week. I've been working a lot, and I just want to get this out there, put some thoughts out there. And if you're pro-Israel, hey, give me a high five, because those guys have a right to protect themselves. And nobody blinked an eye whenever, you know, we were attacked, and nobody blinks an eye when we defend ourselves as a country. Some of these millennials aren't old enough to remember 9/11. Some of them weren't even born yet. Some of them were babies and infants, toddlers. But let me tell you, there was unity. And whether it was an inside job or not, the whole world believed that we were attacked by some radical Muslims. And we stood together and we defended ourselves, and we eradicated ISIS. And there was no war for 4 years while Trump, because he was strong. And now we have a weak leader, and these groups are rising again. And today it's Hamas, and Hamas is over there and they're kind of running Palestine, and all these LGBTQ LMNOP people are waving their flags in support of LGBTQ LMNOP killers. They'll throw you off the building, cut your head off for being gay, for being a male identifying as female, a female identifying as male. They'll kill you if you think you're a cat or a dog or any kind of animal. They're crazy too. They're crazy, but they're crazy with swords and knives and hatchets, and they'll kill you brutally. They won't think twice about it. I doubt there's any pregnant people over there in those groups, but let me tell you something. That Israel massacre on October 7th, when Hamas and the Palestinians came in, broke through the borders of into Israel, went into the homes and families of innocent people and gutted pregnant moms and cut off the heads off of babies and raped the moms and killed the dads and beheaded the children and burned their houses down. Yeah, you all failed to see there who the victims were. Because you see the Palestinians as being smaller people in a smaller location than Israel. Israel has the guns, they have the ships, they have the war power. And so they can't possibly be the victims, right? That's how you idiots see things. You see things in the way that the weak are righteous, no matter what. The weak are righteous. That's how you see things. No matter how wrong they are, they're righteous. And we call that virtue signaling. So you go there, wave your flags. You're not going to get anything done. Israel's still going to be dominant. And if I was them, I'd be doing the same thing. I wouldn't stop either until they're completely eradicated and out of Gaza. And it's not that they're anti-Palestinians. They're not. They have Palestinians on their parliament. But there's never been a territory, a Palestinian country. That's always where they're at right now in Gaza. You idiots, has always been Israel property. There's never been a Palestinian territory. They've been given that by the Israelites. They've allowed them to stay there. But that belongs to Israel. And so the Palestinian people have a different religion, and they want their own little area. They gave them a lot of land. But for thousands of years, that's belonged to Israel. If you go back and read your Old Testament, I know that I'm talking to the wrong crowd here on this one, because these idiots that are over there chanting and cheering for the Palestinian people and Hamas aren't going to crack open a Bible and read the Old Testament. But Moses and the children of Israel wandered 40 years in the desert. And because Moses at one point disobeyed God, he wasn't allowed to cross over into the promised land. And so a whole generation of people that left out of Israel, or I'm sorry, out of Egypt, passed away. And then Joshua. Joshua led the people of Israel, well, they were the children of Israel, into the Canaan land, the land that flows with milk and honey. They went through. They took it just like, white people did to the Native Americans, and Native Americans were doing to the people that lived here before them, and they were doing to the people. Land has always been taken, and that's what happened thousands and thousands of years ago. And now they're the only civilized culture over there, right? Because everybody else kills each other, and they're a democracy, and they do quite well. So thousands of years they've been there. There was never a Palestinian people there. Never. Go back and research it all you want to. I'll talk about that on the next podcast. I'm going to call this quits for now. I want to thank everybody for listening, everybody for joining in. Hey, you are listening to L. Douglas Hogan, your host, your boy, on The Rising Republic. Thank you again.
Who is on your side, PBN family? When it comes to healthcare, I know no better ally than the folks at The Wellness Company. They've been our sponsor now for months, and I want you to look at their monthly membership. Visit twc.health/PBN. For $10 a month or less, your membership gets you discounted supplements and wellness products, discounted virtual care, and discounts on most specialty telehealth services. I'm talking allergy immunotherapy, freedom from pharma, vaccine injury. These people get it. They get you, and they are the future of healthcare. Visit twc.health/PBN.